This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Courtney, you with us?
I am here. Hi, Coy.
Hi. So tell me first, what's the headline here? I mean, what happened? What is this breakthrough?
Well, the breakthrough is that police came out and announced, it seemed to come from nowhere last week, that they had forensic evidence that linked the Morgan Harrington case to a sexual assault from 2005 in Fairfax, in the city of Fairfax. And they released a composite sketch of the man believed responsible for the Fairfax assault and then said, we're looking for this guy in the Morgan Harrington case as well, because apparently there's some forensic evidence tying him to her.
We're talking with Courtney Stewart of The Hook. The phone lines are open, 977-1070. So there's a DNA match then between the Morgan Harrington case and this rape that took place when and where in Northern Virginia?
It was September 24th, 2005, in a small condominium community that is right at the edge of Fairfax City and the county. It's right off Germantown Road, which is sort of a business district. There's a giant grocery store about a quarter of a mile up the road. It's right across from a middle school. There's some hotels and stuff around there, but this little development is about 50 duplexes, very well maintained, really a nice little neighborhood, filled mostly with retired people, a really diverse neighborhood, bunch of nationalities represented. And so I guess a woman who was visiting there back then in 2005, had walked up to the giant grocery store in the evening and was returning home about 10 o'clock when she was attacked from behind as she arrived back at this condominium complex, attacked from behind, dragged to a small park area that was towards the back where there's like a little gazebo and a swimming pool and a small playground, and there had been a lot more trees, I guess, at the time. And she was attacked there, assaulted. She managed to get away.
But she was raped.
You know, they have not come out and said exactly. They've called it a sexual assault.
Okay.
I have not. I don't know if that's a legal term.
Yeah.
Kind of like murder and homicide.
Yeah.
It is my understanding that it was a fairly violent assault that may well have included that.
But she survived and got away and was able to provide DNA of her attacker.
She did, yes. She was taken to the hospital immediately. She was treated. I would presume that they did a forensic, a rape kit, and were able to collect whatever kind of evidence you would be able to get from that kind of exam.
And again, this was September of 2005, and the DNA from that assault in Fairfax matches some DNA found in the Morgan Harrington case? Is that...
Yeah. Well, police are they're actually being pretty vague about it. They're not actually coming right out and saying it's DNA. I understand from a variety of sources that it is indeed DNA. And that's been reported also in the Washington Post and some other places. So I'm not the only person who's hearing that from some reliable sources. What was your last question? I couldn't hear.
No, that's okay. So the DNA then matches in Morgan Harrington. Where did they get the DNA in the Morgan Harrington case?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, the only two possibilities that we are aware of are it's either going to be the T-shirt that was discovered in November and which they identified as her shirt back in April, or it's going to be something, that they discovered at maybe her remains or something else that they have found that they haven't told us about. But we only know about the T-shirt and, of course, her remains found on Anchorage Farm in January. So I did speak with a forensic expert, a former police sergeant, Sergeant Barfield, Ralph Barfield, and we talked a little bit about the likely place that might have come from, and just from a forensic point of view, from the ability to get stuff, he thought the T-shirt was the more likely source. He didn't know firsthand about that, but he thought it would be more likely just because of the length of time that her remains were exposed to the elements. Also, we know that they must have gotten something off that T-shirt because in April they were able to confirm that it was hers. So I have to think that they were able to get her DNA with that from the T-shirt. And so at that time, they may have gotten test results back on his DNA as well.
We're talking with Courtney Stewart of The Hook, her cover story about the DNA hit in the Morgan Harrington case will be published tomorrow and Thursday in this week's Hook. So, Courtney, there's a drawing then that the woman who was attacked in Fairfax, working with a sketch artist, provided for the attacker. And I guess the question, and you asked this question in your headline, is this Morgan Harrington's killer?
I think that nobody has come out and said this is the man who killed Morgan Harrington, but they are coming out and saying his DNA has been found related to her case, either on her shirt or on her remains or in some other place. And so when we know that this man is responsible for a violent attack on another young woman 4.5 years ago, and so it's hard to understand, you know, how this man and Morgan Harrington would have interacted, and that's the question they're putting out there. But I think the underlying question for anybody, I mean, the obvious question is, you know, I mean, could he have had any interaction with her and not been the person responsible for what happened, given his history, given the fact we don't even know who he is?
Right, right.
Never been caught for this other thing.
Yeah, and it's not likely that she just gave her T-shirt to some guy who happened to be involved in a rape and an attack before, that he just decided to throw out the window of his car as he was leaving Charlottesville.
I mean, it would be very hard to come up with that scenario and make it work.
So what's the description of this guy then? Do we have?
We have only the description given by this one extremely traumatized woman who only got a look at him in the dark as he was attacking. And from that description, they're saying that he's a black male. He was between 25 and 35 at the time in 2005. So now we presume he'd be between 30 and 40. But eyewitness counts are notoriously
unreliable.
Inaccurate,
yeah.
Unreliable.
Yeah.
So I think people need to really be cautious. I mean, particularly thinking back, I wrote in today's article that went up online, wrote about the serial rapist case where you had 8 women describing an African-American male. And, you know, even with that, you had the composites that were coming out.
Yeah, they didn't look anything like the guy that they eventually caught.
Frankly, they didn't look anything like any human being that could be walking around.
Right.
I mean, anyway, I mean, it was, you know. But that, in that, during that case, they ended up having to send this unknown DNA sample that they knew was, you know, belonged to the person responsible for the assault, send it off to have sort of ancestral analysis done on it so that they could say with certainty, yes, these women are reporting seeing a black man, and yes, his ancestry shows that he was like 85% of sub-Saharan African ancestry. So with that, they were able to say, yes, we're certain that he would appear to be a black male, not a Pakistani or not a,
yeah,
you know, not Middle Eastern of some kind.
We're talking with Courtney Stewart of The Hook. She has filed a massive cover story exploring the DNA hit in the Morgan Harrington case, and she joins us live to talk about the very latest and preview this story that you will not want to miss. It'll be on newsstands tomorrow night in the Little Red Boxes and all day on Thursday as well. Courtney, so there's a DNA match then between Morgan Harrington somewhere, either on her remains or on the T-shirt they found. DNA there matches the DNA of a rapist, we believe to be a rapist, a sexual assault that occurred in Fairfax in Northern Virginia in 2005. There is a sketch of the gentleman believed to be 30 to 40 years old, a black male, and otherwise little is known about him. Now, you went up to this neighborhood where this attack in 2005 took place. Who did you meet there?
I met several of the neighbors who lived in that neighborhood. I wanted to sort of see it for myself and just kind of get a better feel for things. So I went up, I met several people who had lived there at the time. Through them, I then met the family who actually were home and whose door this young woman went to after she managed to get away from this assailant, who had actually left her there when the passerby happened along.
So you met the people she ran to for help.
Yeah, that took some phone calling and some talking, but they had since moved away from the neighborhood, but they were there that night. They had a teenage son. It was a couple. They were home, and a knock comes at the door. They said it wasn't as frantic a knock as you would think. It was more of a soft knock, and they went and open the door and discover this poor woman who the woman I spoke with, Diane Jenkins, just described her as dazed, in shock. She had come back from the grocery store, so somehow she had gotten up and she had tried to gather up her groceries. And that was just a really painful detail to me, to think, you know, she was just trying to get home. And so she took her groceries and she knocks on this door and she's bleeding and her clothing is disheveled and her hair has brass and, you know, stuff in it. And she was visiting a family, that lived in the neighborhood at the time, who, they're foreign. I'm not sure which country they're from, but the woman I spoke with said that they spoke Urdu, which I think is a Muslim, primarily a Muslim language from Pakistan and India. And so this woman, she spoke English, but the victim spoke English, but when they went and summoned, the family that she was visiting, they came and they switched to Urdu. And so she had refused to come inside. She may have, I believe she is a Muslim. And so there's, you know, there's just a whole sort of, I don't know, even additional cultural pain sort of associated with that, I feel like.
We're talking with Courtney Stewart of The Hook. Her cover story about the DNA connection in the Morgan Harrington case will hit the little red boxes all over town tomorrow night, Thursday. So, Courtney, what's interesting about your story, which you can read online at readthehook.com, is that the police have known this for some time, but it looks like they were sort of compelled to release this information to the public because it hit a crime blog.
Yeah. Well, what happened, according to Corinne Geller, who's the spokesperson for Virginia State Police, is that there was that crime blog came out with this story that Morgan's case had been linked to another Fairfax crime, and she identified it based on some sources, what sources were telling her. This crime writer is Blink on Crime. She identified it as a case that just happened, and a sort of a bizarre case. I didn't read a whole lot about this, but what I saw was, it was a young woman who had died, they thought, in a car accident, but it turned out she'd actually been murdered. So that was what they were linking it to, and so Virginia State Police thought, oh, my God, this is about to get out of hand, and people are going to start getting all kinds of information and misleads based on people thinking that this is the case. And so they, at that point, decided immediately to release the composite and the actual case they had linked it to. So on the one hand, you know, the crime blog was right. It had been linked to a Fairfax case. On the other hand, it wasn't the right case that was posted.
Yeah. So what's been the reaction of the Morgan's parents?
Well, they expressed relief. I spoke with Jill Harrington on Thursday, the day that they came out with this, and she expressed relief and said that they had known about this for some time and that this was sort of the source of some of their frustration when they were saying police and UVA administrators and people are not making it clear that we have a serial predator. We have somebody who could strike again. We have a scary person, very likely in Charlottesville. And so knowing this, they felt desperate for this information to come out, maybe so that people would take this even more seriously than they have been. So she was, Jill Harrington said she was happy that it had come out and that she felt relief. And she felt like this was, you know, this was the biggest step that this case has taken, that there's actually some hope now with at least a little bit of information, you know, something beyond just Morgan vanishes and her body is found.
Yeah. Courtney Stewart, star reporter over at The Hook. You can read her cover story in the print edition tomorrow night and Thursday, or you can read it right now online at readthehook.com. Courtney, as always, great reporting. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.